Hello, hello, and welcome to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson, a podcast about prioritizing passion. Each week, we cover topics in the personal development space, including things like money, finance, business, entrepreneurship, mindset, and seriously, whatever else I'm feeling extra passionate about that week. These conversations are meant to encourage you to prioritize your passion. Welcome to the party. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get into it. Hello, hello, and welcome to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. Me and Casey, or Casey and I, as I should say, are back again to give our toasts and roasts, our highs and lows of the week. And this week was National Girls and Women's in Sports Day, so I talk about working in sports as a woman. And I hope you guys like what I have to say. I don't know. I'm a little nervous about it, but I think it's important to talk about because this podcast is all about prioritizing passion, and I wanted to give a little bit more background about why I'm so passionate about working in sports and some of my experience and all that. So that is the main part of the episode, but we are here to do toast and roast. So Casey B, we did a lot this last week. We have been so busy. I have not slept in I don't know how many days. So what's your toast since we had so much going on?
My toast is going to be going skiing with you last Monday.
I knew it was going to be skiing. Why don't you tell everyone about our ski trip?
Our ski trip? So we woke up in the early morning.
And are you talking like an Irishman? Do they go skiing? I don't think so.
I don't think they do.
I don't think there's mountains in Ireland. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Irish mountains.
Go ahead. Editing Lindsay here. We recently found out that there is skiing in Ireland. So we were wrong. And now we need to go to Ireland. Back to the show.
Yeah, so I woke up early, went up to Snoqualmie Pass and skied in the fog and the rain. Which, I mean, it's not ideal, but you're skiing, so that's always fun.
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago, we released an episode called Ski Bums. So listen to that one, and you'll basically hear how good at skiing Casey is and how terrible I am. But I want to be good.
You were amazing. That's my real toast.
I was not good at all.
Yes, you were. I was not
good. No. Why don't you tell everyone about what you made me do?
Well, first round of the day, I took you on a blue square, which was an intermediate run.
I could have broken up with you, but I needed a ride home.
You were pretty mad.
No, I was sad. I wasn't mad. I was just sad. I was like kidding when I was yelling at you, but I was just sad and disappointed in myself. I don't enjoy doing things that I'm so bad at. But I want to get better.
I mean, I could have picked you up and skied down the hill with you, but like I didn't want you to, I wanted you to do it yourself.
Okay.
And that made the rest of the time on the bunny so much easier.
Okay, but I don't know. Maybe like stroke my ego or tell me the truth. I don't know. That blue in the part where I got stuck. Was that actually hard? It was really steep. I got stuck and I was too scared to go down. And I kept standing up and then I would fall down. I would stand up and I'd fall down. And Casey would say, just come down towards me. I said, I can't, it's too steep. I'm going to go too fast to knock you over. We're going to break our bodies. And oh my God, it was so hard.
I've caught you every time. I'm not going to knock you.
Yeah, we've never done it that steep before.
Oh, I would get you.
I don't think so. It was bad. I laid on the mountain and I said, I'm not going. And then I started crying and I hate crying, but I was so disappointed in myself. And that's why I was crying. I wasn't crying because I was hurt. I was crying because I was upset with myself. And that is why I do not compete in athletics. I work in athletics because I can't.
But what did I keep on telling you when you fell down?
You said, you know, your advice was actually really good when you said, what do you do when you fall down, not in the snow? And I said, you get back up. And you said, okay, get back up.
Get back up. Keep going.
But it was scary.
I can't do it.
I'm also not on a giant slant sliding down into the abyss. We could literally not see from there. It was the first run of the day. We got there. Casey says, oh, yeah, we're going to do it. It'll be okay. And you were teaching me some fundamentals. We did a little practice a while ago, and I said, okay, maybe I can do it. Maybe I'll impress myself. I did not impress myself.
You did it.
Barely. And then a little child went down easily, and he almost ran into me dying. Oh, that was bad.
Oh.
But it was fun. But then after we did that hard one, we went on the bunny, and I felt like a boss. I was like, whoa, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, you're ripping. Everyone's falling off the lift and stuff in front of us, and you're getting off no problem, and skiing all the way down by yourself.
Yeah, but my body got so tired. Skiing is so hard. My legs and just my body in general were so sore. And then by the end of the day, because my parents met us up there, and our friends met us up there. And so Casey and I had already done this monstrous hill where I was dying. And then we did a couple more easy ones. And then the people we were meeting got there. And they're like, okay, let's go. And I'm like, I'm getting sore. And then by the time they got there, I was like falling over more. And it wasn't because I wasn't very good. It was just because my body was just like collapsing. I couldn't.
That last big fall you had, though, that was impressive. I give you kudos on that.
Casey says that it's good that I fell because I was going so fast and I wiped out.
Yeah, because you're pushing yourself.
No, I couldn't stop.
That's how you get better.
I couldn't stop. It wasn't intentional.
Well, eventually you'll have enough of those times where you can't stop and you have to figure something out. And then it clicks and you say, oh my God, I know how to hockey stop on skis.
I figured something out. I went right into the little snowbank.
You did it like our friend Nate.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Ow. What was your roast?
Oh, I don't know. I was just going to say you elbowing me in the face right now. That was rude.
It was an accident.
Roasting. This week we've been having a lot of people coming in the last 10 minutes of the day at work and placing big orders. Yesterday we had somebody place one, and right when we finished it, they canceled the whole thing. And we were there.
Yeah, those
half hour
jerks.
Past closing.
You told me about them, and they're jerks.
Yeah.
You loaded up their trailer all good, and then they said, never mind, we don't want it anymore.
I was not happy.
Yeah, I bet. Jerks.
I'm a pretty relaxed guy, but, well, when that happens, it's just bad news.
Are you ready for my toast?
Yeah, get it done.
Or roast. What should I start with?
I'll start with a roast and then end with a high note.
Okay, my roast is that somebody stole my package this week, and I'm really upset about it. Like, these people who steal mail are the scum of the earth. Why? Why would you steal my mail? It doesn't make any sense to me. I wrote on the Facebook page for our community, and I was like, did anybody get a package addressed to my name on Facebook? It has my name, obviously. And a lot of people said, oh, my mail got stolen. My mail got stolen. Somebody stole my mail and they cashed my check. And just like, what the heck is wrong with people? Mine was a beanie. And, you know, it's not a big deal, but it was just frustrating because I was waiting for this package to come. I was so excited. It's something that I pre-ordered. And I waited a month for it. Got here on the day that we went skiing. And then the next day, I go get the mail, and our mailbox is open and empty. And somebody took it. And I'm just really upset about it. And that's just terrible. I'm so mad. I was so looking forward to it.
Oh, I'll catch them.
I'm hoping that it just... I'm hoping it's like maybe it just got randomly taken somewhere else, and it'll just show up on my doorstep. But I don't think so.
I'll find them. I have a very particular set of skills.
Just a little bonus roast here. I write on the Facebook page, you know, about, has anyone else gotten their mail stolen recently? Or have you got my package? And then this person says, I have a P.O. box, and so my mail never gets stolen. Well, good for you, Chuck! Like, why the heck would you comment that? Obviously, I don't have a P.O. box because I have a free mailbox right in front of my house that I'm renting, so I'm not paying for a P.O. box! Oh my God. that person just really just grinded my gears.
Should have said, what's your box number?
You should have been there. Then you would have told me that right away. Okay. But my toast is really good. So I got to go see my brother this weekend. We flew over to Spokane and flew back the same day. He lives over in Spokane and he has autism. And his name is Gage, and I was just so happy to go see him. It's been a long time since I was able to go see him. And we had a good day. We went to the mall. We're just kind of walking around. And it was, he really likes certain things. That's something with people on the autism spectrum. They get very focused on certain things. And so some of the things that he likes a lot of foods. And he loves like trampolines, and there is this thing in the mall that he goes to sometimes, and it's kind of like I think they call them like a frogger jump thing, but it's like a trampoline and it's like bungee cords and you jump up and down kind of, and he likes that. But there was like a lot of, I don't know why there were so many people at the mall, because there's nothing to do, I guess, but there's a lot of people at the mall waiting. And so waiting is not his strong suit. So at first he told me he wanted a hot dog. So we went up to the food court and I got him a hot dog, A&W, but then he saw the Subway. And so then he's like, no, I want chips. And so I was like, okay. But then the line at Subway was like super long. So we found chips somewhere else and got chips. And then he saw the jump. And so he really wanted to do it. And there's just a ton of people, and it's one of those things where it's like a kid does it for like 5 to 10 minutes, and then there's a lot of people in lines. I'm like, I just don't think that we could just wait and do this, because he wants to do it kind of now, because he sees it now. Like, that's something, waiting is just kind of hard for him. So, but it was just so nice to see him. But then we went down there, and I was kind of seeing, you know, how many kids are waiting, kind of trying to think maybe we can handle this, maybe not. And then there's a little ice cream place right next to there. So he sees the ice cream, and he's like, ice cream? And so I say, okay, let's go get ice cream. And I get him an ice, or we walk over there, and the lady working, she says, hi, Gage. And that's his name. And I was like, you know him? He's close to nonverbal, I would say. He only talks when he really wants something. And so it's not like a lot of people just like, he doesn't talk to people. That's how it works with him. But it's kind of just surprising when I go somewhere and somebody knows Gage. And she says, oh, yeah, I was, I used to work with him with some therapy thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so great. I'm his sister. I'm visiting from town, or I'm in town visiting. And I get him like a scoop of vanilla ice cream or whatever. And then she says, it's okay. It's on me. And that was just so sweet. Like, that just makes me so happy. And this community around him just loves him so much. And he's just happy and he's doing so good. I'm so glad I got to see him. So that's my toast. And there are good people out there. And I like almost started crying in the mall, and but that just made me really happy. So that was my toast.
That's a good toast.
It was a really good experience. I'm so glad I got to see him, and it was a quick trip, but it was well worth it. So we had a busy weekend. Spokane, visiting Gage and skiing, and then working on the weekend, and then oh my goodness, it's been a lot. And then this week is National Girls and Women's in Sports Day, and so that's kind of why I am talking about that in the next part of the episode. And I wanted to just wonder if what you kind of thought about me when I said I wanted to work in sports.
I thought it was awesome, because I mean, ever since we first met, you were always so passionate about sports. I mean, definitely when we first started dating, still, I mean, you're like more passionate about football, definitely, than I am.
Yeah.
But it's like you've always been had like a little fire to you when it comes to sports.
Yeah.
So I mean, I thought it was really cool, and sports make you happy. So
yeah. Do you ever? There's one thing that I always remember. When people would ask this, when we first started dating, like you didn't pay attention to sports really at all. And then people would ask you, like, do you know when the Seahawks game is on? When I was like sitting right there, like, and they knew I was a big Seahawks fan, they just wouldn't ask me because I don't know, I'm a girl and you would obviously know. And you're like, I don't know.
I don't know.
That's just like one of the things that I thought of from a long time ago, but there's a lot of things in the women in sports world. Another thing, I didn't talk about this in my little talk that I do in the second half of the episode, but just the fact that men coach women, but it's so rare for women to coach men. And there are some things where it's like the same sport, like basketball. There's men's basketball, there's women's basketball. There's some differences, but the fundamentals are the same. I think there's been a lot more controversy with things like American football, and there are now women coaching in certain positions in that. And I really don't think that women are trying to say they know the experience of being, you know, a quarterback, but that's always what comes to them, like in, I would say, opposing opinions. They say, well, you don't know what it's like to be hit. Like, I don't think anyone's trying to say that they do know what it's like to be tackled. They're saying, I'm teaching you how to train. I'm teaching you how to throw. Yeah. I'm teaching you how to like use your body. I'm not teaching you, like, you know how to get hit. You've been getting hit your whole life. Like, I don't know. That's something I wanted to just touch on and just notice, like, that's something that I used to kind of be on that side too. Like, yeah, I mean, girls don't really play football, so how are they going to coach? But then understanding like a job, coaching is very different than playing. You don't see Pete Carroll, who's out there, who's 75, I don't know how old he is, he's old.
182.
Out there getting tackled with pads on. Like, as they say, those who can't do, teach, you know? And then we have Mike Leach, who didn't even play football, really. There are so many different things that can be done in the sports world, and some of the arguments are just ridiculous. So I am glad that I talked about some of this stuff later on, and I hope you enjoy it. I'll be back talking about some of my experiences working in sports and how I would like to be seen and what I would like to see with more women. So we'll be right back. Okay, one thing I wanted to share is my favorite quote from my favorite movie, and I think it really sums up why I love sports and why I love working in sports. So my favorite movie is Fever Pitch with Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore. And in this quote, Jimmy, the avid Red Sox fan, says, "I like being a part of something that's bigger than me, than I. It's good for your soul to invest in something you can't control." And Drew Barrymore, his girlfriend, says, "You're a romantic. You have a lyrical soul. You can love under the best and worst conditions." And that just sums up passionate fan bases in sports. And so here I go. I'm going to talk about working in sports and how freaking awesome it is that women are having their place, taking their seat at the table, and using their voice. And we're back. I am back solo to talk about being a woman working in sports because yesterday, or if you're listening to this on Friday when the episode comes out, Wednesday was National Girls and Women's in Sports Day. So normally I don't talk about this kind of stuff because I am the type of woman who doesn't really think about this kind of stuff. I am somebody who says, I don't want to be treated any differently. I don't want any special treatment. I don't want to even recognize that I am a woman. Just like, don't even think about it. I'm just, well, just like everybody else. And I am, but National Girls and Women's in Sports Day has really shown me so much more than that. And it's a lot about opportunity and getting to hear the stories of so many women who paved the way because, I mean, even 20, 50, 100 years ago, if you look back in different increments of time, many of the opportunities that are available to people like me would not be available. So each year we are just getting more and more opportunities out there for women and women in places of power and actually getting respect. And it's all just really great to see. And it starts out from just even little girls being able to play t-ball or soccer or gymnastics or anything like that. And then moving up even farther to middle schoolers, high schoolers, going into collegiate athletes, and then in the professional world, professional women's sports, coaching opportunities, and then where I come from is the working in sports side. And then there is a whole nother side of things, which is the fan side of things. And that's something that I don't think is really talked about very much in National Girls and Women's in Sport Day, because it's a lot more about active participation rather than fanship, because you can be a female fan of a male sports team, and that is probably something that doesn't get talked about very often on days like this, but at the same time, there has been a lot of progress in those areas as well. I mean, it was not that long ago when you could not buy female like football jerseys, like, you know, we'll just say the Seahawks, because I'm a Seahawks fan. Like, there were times not that long ago where they only come in male sizes. And then there was a phase where every jersey that was for females was bright pink or had sparkles on it. And it's like, why? Why can't I get one that looks like the guy's jersey? And now there is a lot of progress in that area as well. So in so many different areas, there is progress, and it's great to see, and just opportunity, excitement, passion, energy. It's just a lot surrounding this day. And I don't even really know if I knew about this day until I went to college. I don't know when it started. Let me look it up because I got the computer right in front of me. But one of the great things is, oh, geez, this has been going on for 35 years. And I didn't hear about it until a couple years ago when I was in college. So there you go. So one of the great things that I was able to be a part of this year was watching a little webinar that was put on by the University of Washington with women talking about their experience in sports. And there were people speaking who are in the professional field, there were athletes, as well as coaches speaking. So a little bit of everything there. And I really enjoyed it. Hearing stories is one of my favorite things, obviously, since I'm always listening to podcasts. But this is something that really hits close to home for me. And like I said, I don't like to talk about my work, especially specific things about like my career, my work too much, because it's kind of a separation for me. But I work in sports because I am passionate about the fan experience. And I am so passionate about sporting events, bringing people together, and creating a community that is just bigger than yourself. And so that's why I love sports. I think everybody who works in sports has a really deep reason why, whether that is for they just want to be as close to the game as possible. You know, they want to play as long as possible, and then they get to coach or whatever it is. The first thing I want to talk about is somebody in this webinar said, being a woman in sport is the best part of my identity. And while I don't know if that is the best part of my identity or I see that as the best part of my identity, it is a big piece of my identity. And it is something I'm so proud of. And whether I work in sports forever or not, my experience working in sport will always be a piece of my identity. And that is something that is really important to me. I think a lot of people have passion in their careers, but working in sports is just something so deep, and it is from just so many things. I love competition. I love the strive for excellence that you see in sports. Like, you always got to get better. You're always competing, and it's just really cool. So I'm hoping that I'm not going to get too crazy on this one, but I wanted to talk about why this day is important and some just the thoughts that I had about it. So one of the things I wanted to mention, just from the fan base perspective, like I said about the jerseys and stuff, we have made progress there. You can get a jersey that is a, you know, a Tom Brady jersey or whatever, and it looks just like the one that he wears, instead of one that's bright pink with polka dots and diamonds and all that stuff. And if you want to wear one with polka dots and diamonds and pink, that's perfectly fine too. That's one of the things I really think is unique about women in this time, is that feminism is still kind of always evolving and seeing, you know, what I really think it is just being able to do whatever you want. No one should just question what you're doing as a woman. Like, if you want to wear pink, if you want to wear black, like, who cares on some of those things. So I wanted to talk about the fan base level and then talk about my experience working in sports and then just some final thoughts. So my experience working in sports, maybe I should start, like, I started working in sports a long time ago, actually, when I was probably like in eighth grade or a freshman, probably a freshman in high school. I was working AAU basketball tournaments, just working the door, and now I work in tickets in collegiate athletics. So, you know, there we go. There's my whole life. It's kind of a whole step in the right direction there. But I think people thought it was kind of weird when I said I was going to go into sports. What I actually thought I was going to do when I was in high school was be an athletic trainer. And then I realized that I don't like science as much as I thought I did. So, and I love business. So I learned about business, and then I went and got into sport management. And something that's interesting about a sport management program, and I would like to talk to other people who went to other places about sport management programs, because there are some unique things. The class, I would say it was probably 60-40 men to women, so that's actually pretty good. I don't think it has to be 50-50. It could be 60-40 women to men. Like, it doesn't matter. It's just who's going to be there and work hard, and there are a lot of different ways you can work in sport. It doesn't always have to be one specific thing. But it's kind of funny when you are in those classes, especially when you're starting out, you'll get the same kind of questions, icebreakers over and over again. And I would probably say 70% of boys who are in their first class in sport management answering the question, you know, what's your dream career? I would say about 60 to 70% say a general manager of a team. And from my recollection, I don't think any woman said that. So that's just from your first day in a sport management class, you can kind of see a little bit of a divide. And that's just interesting. The other thing is, a lot of people are not going to be GMs. They're not going to be general managers. So that's just kind of a funny thing. I don't know if girls are more maybe rational on that end, knowing, like, I'm going to do this and then this, and then I'm going to move up and do this and this, instead of being like, I'm going to be the president of the United States. There's only one, so it's a smaller pool. That's what I'm talking about there. And you see a lot more of women saying, oh, I want to be in marketing for the NFL, or I want to be working with the MLB, or I want to do, what else did I hear, in college athletics, or there's a lot of things going on. There's so many different options with sports, actually. It's not just high school, college, professional sports. It is also recreational things. It is just marketing events in general. There are a lot of things there. But in college, I didn't really think much of it, but there was also a couple guys, I would say, who were gatekeepers. And I could say that Casey and I should do a whole episode on gatekeepers in different fields, but there are a lot of guys, I would say, in sport management, and maybe there's females too, but I never experienced one who did this, and I think guys do this in general to girls who say, I'm interested in sports, or I like this team. And they say, oh yeah, well, do you know so-and-so's stats on this? Do you know how many yards he ran for last year? What's his RBI? What's this? What's that? Oh my gosh. Like, there's plenty of guys out there, maybe girls too, but a lot of guys who will just gatekeep you and like start throwing stats at your face. And honestly, I have a job in sports. I work with numbers. I don't need to know stats about individual players in my job. That does not make me any more successful at what I do. And there are a lot of women out there who are great at their job, and they do not need to throw random statistics at somebody to prove that they're good at their job. But that happens a lot. I wanted to share that one because I think it happens a lot, and I just want people to just ignore those people. Like, you can still like a sports team. You can be educated about a sports team. You can know your stuff and still not know this random stat that somebody's asking you if you know. And if you don't know that, then you're not a real fan, or you're not good enough to do this or that. Like, oh my God, get out of here. Get out of here with that. People will always do that. But in gatekeeping, that kind of stuff happens in a lot of situations, but I'm talking specifically with sports and stats. And people just, you're not a true fan if you don't know this. So, I really loved all the guys and girls in my college classes in sport management. And it was really in that setting about how hard you worked. And I work really hard. People knew that about me, and I got along with a lot of people, and people would recognize if you don't work hard, they don't want to be in your group, they don't want to be in your project. Like, it doesn't matter what you want your end goal to be, it matters how hard you're working. And it didn't matter to anyone that I really noticed if you're a male or a female. And in some settings, I think women are seen as, you know, more academic too. And so it's almost like there are some people who would say, oh, the boys just slack off and the girls do all the work. And that's another stereotype. Like, it's just dumb. But graduated from my sport management program, got an internship because I worked hard, and then I got a job and full time. And throughout my time working in different practicums and everything, I would experience a couple situations where I was either the only girl working or the only girl in my internship in a meeting, and that didn't happen very often. There was a lot of great women that I've worked with, and there was one meeting in particular that I always think back on when I think of being a woman in a position. And it was during an internship, and I was taking notes for somebody, and it was kind of an executive meeting, and every executive in the meeting was a man. And I was there, I was learning, I was taking notes. Like, a male intern could have taken notes as well. It was just me. I'm a woman, but it's just interesting to see everyone sitting around me is a man. And that's something that has never bothered me, but it's just something I think about. And I'm trying to just, you know, I see that changing more and more. And that's a good thing to change. I don't think it has to be, like I said before, 50-50. I don't think it has to be one way or the other. It's just whoever's best at their job. That's what I always think. Just the best person for the job should have the job. And that person, whoever that is, should get respect. The respect part can be the hard part. There's a lot of times, even now in my current position, I'm in a full-time career and I'll be the only woman in a meeting. And one of the places I notice it like most clearly is in a Zoom meeting. So I challenge any of you who are still doing Zoom meetings to just take a look around next time and just kind of do a quick calculation in your head and see, oh, there are maybe 10 people in this meeting and two of us are women and eight of them are men. And that's how it is. And that's our group that we're working with. And sometimes it leans the other way. And that is just a place where I see it more often. In a meeting I was just in this week in sports with a large group, there was about 20% of the group was female. And that was on National Girls and Women's in Sports Day. It's just interesting to see. And some departments, you could say, or some fields are more female dominated than others, but I would say the sports field in general is very male dominated. Well, I'm trying to think if I wanted to mention anything else about being the only person, the only woman in a meeting, the only woman at a table. It happens, and I just speak and let my voice be heard. I think it's intimidating starting out, but it's also intimidating starting out and using your voice no matter what position you're in. But just I try not to think about it. But I've learned also that if I don't use my voice, that is a disservice when I have something to say that is extremely valuable and I can bring a different perspective. And instead of kind of looking at the situation like I'm the only woman here, this is kind of weird, I'm the only one. Instead, I look at it like I'm the only woman here. I'm happy to be that. I am going to make a difference. And someday there's going to be another person sitting next to me. And then there's going to be another person sitting next to her. And that sounds kind of like it's just work, like, but at the same time it really is more, because a while ago you wouldn't see it like that. And I'm so lucky to work with a lot of great men who don't even think anything of it either, and that's something that I really appreciate. Like, treat me like you would anyone else. Treat me like one of the boys, if you would say. Or I don't know if that's a way to look at it anymore. That's something that's kind of weird for me, is kind of navigating, like, I've always been a guy's girl. I've always been, you know, I've been in male-dominated industry my entire career. I've been friends with guys my entire life. I work with Casey as well. That's a male-dominated field as well. When I'm talking to people who are contractors or are building things and in the lumber industry, there is not very many girls over there either. And it doesn't make me feel any less than, but there are some people who will treat you like shit because you're a woman, or look at you like you don't know what you're talking about. So I honestly don't think I've experienced anything extreme from anyone who's like an actual coworker or anything like that, but more from, you could say, there's some sports fans out there who will ask you, and I understand, I look like I'm really young and I look like I'm a girl, you know, I'm a young lady, but people will come up to me and say, if they're not happy with the answer I give them, they say, where's your manager? And I'll say, I am the manager today. I'm leading. I have all of these students are answering to me. And they'll say, no, they're not. And, you know, and I've been mansplained to too many times to count, especially about sports. this is something that I hope just goes away. There's one thing to teach somebody about sports, but when I'm working, please do not tell me what I already know about sports, about tickets, about whatever it is you think you need to tell me, because I don't look like I know what I'm talking about when I do know what I'm talking about. So I know so many women have to deal with that. There's a couple instances that I think of off the top of my head, but there's one in particular, and this guy was telling me about tickets and how that worked, and, you know, this is how it's actually done, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I sent these out to you. I know how it's done. Like, I did it. But it is what it is. That happens in any field. There's customers who will talk to you like whatever, and it doesn't have to be because you're a woman. It can be just because they're having a grumpy day. But what I really want to say with all of this is working in sports is something that's a big part of my life because I'm so passionate about this, and because my podcast is about passion, I felt like I needed to talk about this subject. And having a seat at a table where I might not have been able to have that seat, have that opportunity to speak, have that position, just because I'm a woman, it's just crazy for me to even think about. I'm so thankful that the way I was raised, I was told I can do whatever I want. And it doesn't matter if I'm a girl, like I can go work in sports, that's fine. I can go do whatever, who cares? Just be better than everybody else. I don't come at this from an athlete perspective because I am not an athlete, especially now. I barely was. I think I've talked about it before. I played basketball for a tiny, tiny bit and I was not good. I'm a dancer, I'm a ballerina, and that is not the same as I would say the things that we talk about on National Girls and Women's in Sports Day. That is we can get in a whole other conversation about whether or not dance is a sport, but we're talking about competition and sport and opportunities. And the way I come from and speak about this is from a working perspective. And I've never thought that I can't have something because I'm a woman, I'll just work harder. One thing I wrote down, I wanted to say this, is I think women in sport are used to working through adversity because they love the competition. They love the grit. They love putting in the work and getting better all the time. They look for adversity to make them better. But the adversity should not be getting your foot in the door or having somebody listen to you. But since we have this passion for sport, we work through the adversity and the challenges. But because we work so hard, we might be less likely to call that out and just feel the need to prove yourself. So I'm going to do whatever I can to get there, to prove myself. And it's almost one of those things where you don't realize that the obstacles are even there because you're used to working hard and you want to work hard and you want to compete. And whether you're competing against yourself or a coworker or whatever, or a teammate, you know, I see that. That was kind of a takeaway that I thought of with adversity, because there have been times where I've dealt with adversity and it's been based on what I look like and as being a woman, and I've just thought, I'll just work harder, I'll just prove myself. And I didn't think about the issue actually being that somebody was looking at me differently because I was a woman. And another big topic that was talked about was that working in sports is a lifestyle. And that's a big one that's discussed when you're talking about women in sport, because as in women with a lot of careers, they will get questioned about, what if you have kids? Or what are you going to do when you have kids? Or where are your kids at when you're at working a basketball game? Or anything like that. And a lot of the women who are on the panel speaking have kids. And it's just really inspiring to see that they can do that. And I think women now have proven, like, you can do whatever you want and have kids. There are so many options now. Don't tell somebody, or don't let somebody tell you that you can't do something and be a mom, because moms are the most powerful people out there. They can do anything they want, anything they put their mind to. And women who work in sport and are moms are freaking superheroes. I see them on a daily basis doing it all. And whether it's, you know, working in sports, whether it's a different career, whether it is teaching, like, oh my God, I cannot even imagine being a Zoom teacher right now and having kids that you have to teach on your own. Oh my God. But anyways, you don't let anyone tell you that. And if anyone even asks you that, that's none of their goddamn business. That is just insane. Like, I just can't even believe that we're still asking women, one, when or if they're having kids, and two, how they're taking care of their kids. Because if they're taken care of, it's none of your business. So I'm really inspired to see so many more women in sports just come out, be in places of power, and they're doing great things. They're doing really great things. The biggest thing is just, when you have your seat at the table, use it and use your voice and don't be afraid, and even though it's hard, and you can get treated differently because you're a woman from another woman. That is something I just gotta say, because it's true. Just because somebody else is a woman doesn't mean they're gonna favor you. Like, you can earn your place and prove that you deserve it, and you gotta make it hard for some of these guys to be mediocre. Like, we can't have mediocre people anymore. This is a competitive field, and the real competitors should get their shot to do big things. And that's my opinion. I don't accept mediocrity. And if you see mediocrity, you just keep proving yourself and be better all the time. That's what I've learned from being in sport management, from working in sports, and I will continue to compete to be better as a person, as a woman in sport. For however long I work in sports, I'll be happy to compete with myself. And even after I'm done working in sports, I will be grateful for the experiences I've had, the opportunities I've had, and the strength I've seen. And it's a really special thing to be involved in sports, and I don't take that lightly. And I think that we can just be better if we all treat each other just like another person. Not a man, not a woman, just another person. I think that's it. I hope you guys enjoy this episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. Make sure you take a screenshot of yourself listening on your phone and tag us. Share it on social media. Let me know what you liked or disliked about this episode. And I hope you guys all have a great week. We will be back next week, as always. I'm so glad that I get to just share with you all each week. It brings me so much joy. So keep doing your thing, and party on. Thank you for listening to this episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I am so glad you joined us. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Then make sure you're following us on Instagram at Pish Posh Pod. Then, if you want even more, you can join us at patreon.com/pishposhpod. There are bonus episodes there and journaling prompts for you to use whenever you want. So check all that out. We'll see you next week. Party on.